Anyway, hey, I got some handouts for you. And the best way to go to Advanced Discovery Bible Studies. Here, thanks, Drew. Somewhere there's a sign-in sheet, too, over by the door, probably, where we can take attendance. We should just have everybody check off, say hello. But, So, IFI fresher. I guess we'll just say Bible study. Bible study. Advance. So if you find your name, put a check in the white spot after the thing. Okay. And then we'll get busy here. Come on along. Okay. So, first question.
Yep.
Are any of you currently involved in leading in Bible studies or assistant leading or helping
participating.
Leading? Participating. Great. Which group are you part of?
Friday night with Keith now.
Keith. Yeah. Okay.
I was working with Mike on Friday nights.
Yep.
On Zoom meetings. And
oh, good.
COVID hit.
Yeah, it's been a little bit different the last year and a half.
Oh, boy, hasn't it?
That's why we're trying to re-engage, because we know that God's got more stuff in front of us.
Carl. Myself and two other, Nancy Baker and Julie Jones, we have a Zoom Bible study with the women that used to be in Mike's, but went back to China.
Right,
so
right.
We do Discovery Bible with them.
Okay.
Every Saturday morning.
Yep. And Rick, you're helping Rich, is that right?
No, I'm in the ANCF.
Oh, right, with Tim and Abby. Okay. Oh, great. Who? Oh, yeah, your wife. Yep. Well, good. Well, thank you for coming to the advanced class. And so it's primarily about prayer, so we should start with prayer, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, we thank you for just what you're doing in us and through us. And we ask, Lord, for your presence here, that you would guide us, that you would help us to hear from you and hear what your heart is for the different students, what your heart is for these different nations. And Lord, we do want to be among those who ask of you for the nations as our inheritance. Lord, teach us your ways, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey. Oh, well, somebody gave it to me.
Okay.
So,
good.
I presume it's being maybe recorded or
yes.
something?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Good. I should have done that at lunch, but oh well. So, as we think about prayer, what we're going to do is practice. We're going to talk about a few things and then practice a few things that you can do in person or on Zoom, and as the case may be, with different students. Primarily as we get ready, as we look at how we can grow in effectiveness. Are you joining us?
I am.
Oh, good. You can come over here a little bit closer. There you go. Just because there's so many of you, I don't want to have to keep turning all the way around. But, yeah, thanks. Yeah, so... Right, so prayer is the key to an advanced Bible study. So what we're going to do is go over a few examples, a few things from Scripture, and then we're going to practice on one another a couple of these things, okay? So have you ever practiced praying with people around you? Hopefully you have, and if not, well, we'll get a chance here in a moment. Okay, so... So a lot of this material comes from a missions organization called NOVO. That constitutes the N at the bottom of the page. And they do a lot of work planting churches and doing discovery Bible studies.
NOVO?
NOVO.org, if you want to look them up. They've got about 400 missionaries, mostly in unreached countries of the world. And they use discovery Bible study which is some of the stuff we use. And a lot of the work they're doing is resulting in reproducing Discovery Bible studies, just multiplying like tremendously in primarily the Muslim world. You know, so it's pretty amazing. You know, so that's pretty cool. And so when we get prayer and a few practices in coordination with our Bible discussions, you know, it really can mushroom and explode and grow. So that's our hope, and that's why we call it the Advanced Discovery Bible Study class. Never done this before, but we've seen some fruit from it so far. So there's five main areas or types of prayer. And so what I'd like to do is, since there's five of us, we'll just take a moment and read through these, you know. So, yeah. So if you look on the first page, there's five here. So the first one's declarative prayer in the name of Jesus. Then there's a blessing in the opposite spirit, which is really exciting. Declaring scripture, and then listening prayer, which is kind of a term we use, listening prayer or activating prayer or attending prayer. Some things like that. So then we're going to spend a little bit more time looking specifically at the blessing piece. And then we'll have a few moments on listening or attending prayer as well, if we can get through all that. So starting off with declarative prayer. So declarative prayer is kind of interesting. I know I've been in a lot of prayer meetings, right? You've probably been in a lot of prayer meetings too. You know.
He said that word.
And sometimes, you know, someone's praying for dear Susie's aunt who has an unnamed condition that we need Jesus to come and touch. And they have a personal prayer request that we're not going to speak, but God knows, and we're just asking God to deal with this thing that He knows.
Unspoken request.
An unspoken request. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting where they've talked about an unspoken request? And actually, I've been in church service where they pray for various things, and now, Lord, we lift up all the unspoken requests. Okay, well, I mean, maybe it does something, but I'd encourage us to actually speak, you know, and say the things. So anyway, let's take a look here, see what the handout has to say about that. So declarative prayer is doing as the disciples did when they followed Jesus' example of praying with authority. Remember when Jesus started teaching, you know, the Pharisees and actually the people kept saying, "This guy's different. I mean, he's not teaching like these guys, you know, droning on and on. He's teaching with authority and power," you know. And I think it's something that we in the modern Western church are missing out. You know, we got these droning, you know, and God, please bless the unspoken request, you know, trying to stay awake, you know. But, you know, the way, I mean, when you read some of the prayers in the Bible, like, even the verse from Acts, you know, it's like God's up there pleading, "Ask of me, ask of me, ask of me, just ask," you know. And so we can ask. And because God has, through Jesus Christ, opened the veil, removed the veil, so that we can come boldly before the throne of grace, then we have an amazing opportunity to, instead of just saying, "God, would you please," you know, We can actually come declaring and more bold. So anyway, it's simply aligning ourselves with God's desire and declaring truth over a person, a situation, or place. Intercession is still a very valid and important form of prayer, but this is not intercession. It's posturing or declaring as opposed to asking. So one way I like to look at this too is, I stand here as a child of the heavenly King, the omnipotent God who created the earth on which I stand. And therefore, I speak to whatever sickness, cancer, disease, you know, whatever the issue is. in the power that God has given us. You know, he says, all authority has been given to you. Therefore, go and make disciples. Therefore, you know, do various and sundry. And a lot of time I feel like we you know, it's like the million-dollar check that Uncle Jim gave you, you know, that's sitting in your drawer. And you're like, well, if I ever need it, I'll go cash the check. You know, but it's like, well, I'm keeping it for a rainy day, you know. Maybe someday I'll need to really pray really seriously, and then I'll, you know, do what the Bible says. You know, pray with the authority that Jesus already gave us. So does that make some sense? You know, so it's trying to awaken our remembrance of things that God has already done. So it's declaring in the name of Jesus. It's not this, I do want to pause and say, it's not, you know, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, you know, I want a limo. There's my limo. You know, there's my Maserati. There's my, you know, no, you know, it's, I mean, I haven't ran across the verse yet. Although the sound of David's triumph was heard throughout the land. So, but that doesn't entitle me to a Triumph motorcycle, right? You know, okay. All jokes, you know, I do this daily, you know, so. Okay, blessing. So we're going to cover these things fairly quickly, but blessing is a gift of encouragement or truth given to a person or place. We use the authority that we have as a child of the Most High King and co-heir with Christ. Remember, the Bible says we're co-heirs with Christ. These words have the power to shift the spiritual atmosphere and are given to someone directly rather than using intercession to God the Father. It's a form of declarative prayer. It's declaring truth to a person. There are two forms of blessing. Two common ones are blessing with scripture or blessing in the opposite spirit. Speaking of blessing in the opposite spirit, next paragraph. Blessing in the opposite spirit is the act of declaring the opposite of what is happening or believed. Many times it is declaring truth where there have been lies. For example, when one is feeling dejected, the spirit may lead one to bless with hope. Or when one is feeling anxious, praying in the opposite spirit may look like blessing that person with peace that passes all understanding. Or if someone is creating a beautiful painting, blessing them with creativity to you know, show something that hasn't been shown before, like some of Michelangelo's work, for instance. You know, he created things in a way that had not been expressed before. I see that hand over there.
I've never seen this set up.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so when I look at the blessing, and I think this, it has to do with focus or vantage point of turning somebody from their self and turn them to God, where their focus is turned to God where it should be. And that is when blessing can happen, is when you're turned back to God and not to self. And I think that's what comes to mind when I see that. Because we're always self-centered,
too often,
and that destroys the community and everything. But when you turn away from that or deny self, and you turn back focused to God, that's what prayer. I think prayer in its essence is like changing your mind or repenting or turning away from self and turning back your attention back to God. I think that's the way. But he also asked us to kind of, like you said, ask.
Yeah. And good. I agree with all you said there, and that's really good. So then quickly we're going to look at two more types, and then we're going to try some blessing on each other, okay? We're going to bless each other with the next page. So declaring scripture. Declaring scripture is using the word of God to breathe life into a person, situation, or place. You know, like reading Ephesians 1 to a person, or Galatians, or, you know, some of these things. For example, when someone is facing a stressful situation, one may bless this person with the nearness of the Good Shepherd, who makes us lie down in green pastures alongside quiet waters. Or you might bless him or her with the easy yoke of Christ, knowing that you are not alone, that Jesus is carrying the burden as well. So blessing someone with the nearness of Christ, blessing them with, if they're struggling with family situations, blessing them with wholeness in their family, blessing them with restored relationships. Okay, so declaring Scripture is you know, actually just repeating what God has revealed in Scripture, and then I'd say essentially loosing it over someone in their life, you know, and saying, this is what God has said is true, and now we declare it for your life, Karen. Right? Wow.
You know what comes to mind when you say that?
What?
John the Baptist confronted Herod.
Oh, okay.
His brother's wife. He was the king of Israel.
Yep.
He was under the law. He's supposed to keep the law. And he's confronting him on that. And he's declaring the truth to the king of Israel. And it's like, I'm the new
one. Yeah. Well, it did. So in this case, declaring Scripture, I think that I would say is more confrontational. But this is more taking something that's true in Scripture and then speaking it to someone who has not experienced that truth in their life right now. And so perhaps in the case of John the Baptist, he could have spoken to Herod and say, you know, instead of being an adulterous murderer, you know, I declare that you are going to be a faithful family man, you know, full of God's presence, and you're going to teach your children to live a godly life.
I disagree with that.
Okay.
Remember Jesus says your sins are forgiven.
Yep.
Before he healed them, he dealt with the most pressing matter of sin first, and then he went after what, you know,
okay,
everybody expected, you know, or hoped for, but he dealt with the sin issue.
Well, and yeah, you do need to address sin issues, so, which is good. Okay, any other comments? I'm going to move on to the last one here on this cover page, and then we're going to flip, and then we're going to practice blessing. So listening prayer is the practice of sitting in quiet and asking God to speak to you. He can speak during listening prayer using thoughts, impressions, words, and pictures. It's actually quite funny. I had a friend who was doing this exercise, and you know, first just prayed, Lord God, we just ask that you would speak to each person. We bind the spirit of the enemy, you know, just cast that out of here so that only the thoughts and things from God come to mind. You know, and then went around and, you know, asked people what they experienced and different things. They came to this person and said, well, what are you thinking? Well, God didn't say anything to me. And said, well, okay, have you thought about anything regarding the issue you were praying? Oh, yeah, I had this amazing, beautiful picture of peace and harmony in my home and, you know, just like joy or light radiating out of my house. And the guy said, well, don't you think that might be an image that God wants to give you of what your house could become and how he sees your house? Oh, I didn't think that was from God.
But,
yeah, right. You know, what? I mean, I once had a couple, seriously, sat down with me when I was a pastor at the church, and they said, well, we're not sure if this is from God or from Satan, but we feel like we want to be missionaries in Thailand. And I'm like,
well, what? How can you confuse that?
Yeah,
I remember saying, I'm pretty sure that Satan is not tempting you to become a missionary in Thailand.
Right.
So, okay, so he can speak during listening prayer using thoughts, impressions, words, and pictures. This communication is then tested to see if it's consistent with Scripture, confirmed by the Holy Spirit in some way, confirmed by others, confirmed by the fruit or whatever you are prompted to do. I did hear of one, you know, as an example of something you shouldn't do, you know, where someone spent some time in prayer and felt like they should go get drunk so that they could better pray for someone when they're drunk. I'm like, no, I'm not feeling the confirmation of the Holy Spirit on that one. You know, let's pray a little bit different style. Then we don't have to go get drunk to pray for people who are drunk, you know. Anyway. Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah.
I said, I'm thinking we need to go back and listen to God again on that one. So, okay, listening prayer can be used for your own intimacy with the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and it can be used when praying for others, asking Jesus how he wants us to pray. You know, in fact, it's a great option too, you know, when you're thinking of praying for a student, you know, to say, instead of just blabbing what comes to your mind or say, God, help them with their test, just pause for 30 seconds and say, okay, first we're going to listen to see what if God has something to say, and then we're going to pray. You know, because, you know, it's helpful to guide people in what you're doing, because if you say, okay, we're going to pray, and then you're silent for 30 seconds, they're like, am I supposed to pray first? You know, yeah. I mean, you just have to guide people. Just tell them what you're thinking. Okay, I think I'm going to skip page 2 and go on to page 3 with the blessing lab. We'll come back to page 2 maybe in a moment. So what we're going to do is get into groups of 2 and 3. How about that? Choose one of the scriptures below or any other that comes to mind to bless the person on your left with. And use the model. So I'm going to model. Here we go. Karen, in the name of Jesus, I bless you with Philippians 4:7, the peace of God which passes all understanding. Done. Ding. I mean, it's fairly easy, right? Okay, so what I'd like you to do is let's group into twos and threes here, you know, and let's just, you know, pick one of them. And then the person on your, actually, there's only 5 of us. Why don't we just go in a circle? You know, the person on your left. So, me and you, okay? So, make sense? Okay, so what we're going to do is, since I just did Karen out of order, why don't we have Karen, you pick one of these and pray over Rick, you know, just right now.
Bill, in the name of Jesus, I bless you with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
Wow. Powerful. Let's see. Is it Dean? Yeah. Dean.
Who am I praying? Oh, you're praying.
I'm praying for you, man. Okay, so Dean, in the name of Jesus, I bless you with all the fruit of the Spirit. With love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
My turn?
Yep.
Yeah, pray for me.
RJ.
God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. And you get to do Karen again. So she gets a double blessing. Yep. Okay, so do you see how easy this could be in the context of a Discovery Bible study? You know, that I mean, even unprompted, you know, to just as the students come in, you know, bless them with health, with a knowledge, with wisdom, you know, all these things that we just read. You know, these are just examples, but I mean, you guys are students of the Bible. I mean, your minds could be spinning with like dozens of just little one-line snippets of things that God, that you could speak to a student to bless them, you know, bless you with health, bless you with good communication with your parents, bless you with your desire to find a wife, and bless you. That's a godly desire, comes from God. You know, I mean, just all kinds of things. It's very easy. I was really convicted when I first heard this because I was thinking, you know, I didn't realize it, you know, because God says of Abraham, you're blessed to be a blessing. And when I first practiced this, I'm like, when was the last time I spoke a blessing? I mean, I was like, you know, I'm just the way my mind works. You know, I'm like, you know, I can spot kind of my critical analysis, you know, always at work. That speaker is 3 degrees off of center, you know. It's like, I mean, just you know. I mean, give me a book. I mean, I've done this hundreds of times. Flip through it, boom. It's typo right here. I mean, I just did it the other day. I just was reading through a book and found a typo within 2 minutes, you know. So that's that, you know, I don't think, I'm pretty sure critical analysis was not one of the fruit of the Spirit.
But if it can be constructive.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah.
Do you remember when Boaz went out into the fields and he greeted his workers and he said, "The Lord be with you."
Yes.
And what did the workers respond? They said, "And the Lord bless you."
Yeah, and
so this blessing was common to be spoken to each other. And it should be sincere and true that the Lord be with you and he said, and the Lord bless you. It was a wonderful greeting between the owner and the workers, or the boss and the workers. There was unity there. There was a unity that you don't see in this world.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's really easy. And, you know, when I looked and thought, I mean, like, I haven't blessed anyone. I've criticized lots of people this week, but I couldn't think of anybody I had blessed in a year, you know.
Yeah.
And so I've been trying to speak more blessing, be more intentional, because God says in his word, I've blessed you to be a blessing. And so when I keep my mouth shut, I'm not blessing the people around me. You know, and, you know, I think that it is something that we can easily do, and it's something that is helpful in the context of the Bible study setting, you know, to, you know, especially when you see some of the students that come in, you know, they're working on a PhD, they're extremely diligent, they're really, you know, and just say, wow, it's such a blessing to see you here, you know, and that you're such a diligent worker. And I see that you're taking the skills that you're learning in school and you're applying it to the lessons that we're learning here. You know, that you're trying to, like Juan, for instance, like everything that you hear me say, that you're taking it back and sharing it with your family. You know, you're being such a good steward of everything that you're given. You know, and it's real easy to speak, you know, those positive things as opposed to criticize. Like, Mark, did you tell everyone? Oh, well, let's not be that. Okay, anyway, so blessings. You think you could try blessing someone? You know, your homework assignment is to bless someone today and tomorrow, okay? And then if you like it, keep doing it every day. You know, but anyway, okay, so, but really, especially in the context of Bible study, you know, think about next time, you know, either they're coming on Zoom or they're walking into the room, just, you know, ask God to guide you, something that you could say to bless each person as they walk into the room. You know, say, oh, you know, bless you with success in your finals. Bless you with, you know, a good relationship with your roommates. I mean, you know, all you got to do is listen to the complaints and then you know next week what to bless them with, you know. So it's like, oh my gosh, bless you with a good relationship. Wow, you know. Thank you so much. It's been so hard with my roommates this week, so thank you for saying that. I'm hopeful that it could go better next week. Okay. And then there's another exercise right below that you can give a shot to try it out. So I want to flip the page again because we won't be able to get to everything. Let's jump onto the declarative prayer and blessing, and then just want to go down, halfway down the page, it says, do we have authority to pray like this? So it says, Jesus' model, the Lord's Prayer, Mark 10, he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and he blessed them. Luke 6 says, Jesus said, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you. You know, just some examples where Jesus just constantly was blessing those around them and telling them how to, telling them what to do. And we're Christians, right? So that means little Christ. So we should be doing the things that Jesus was doing. So wherever he went, Jesus picked up the little kids and blessed them. You know, so I don't have any grandkids yet. Anybody here have grandkids? Okay. Well, you know, I've heard it's a lot easier to bless your grandkids than your own kids. You know?
I guess you're right.
I don't know that from experience, but I have seen evidence that it might be true. So. Yeah.
They needed that affirmation and acceptance. And when you think about it, that's how we get people, by withholding. That's kind of cruel to think about.
Oh, it's very cruel. Yeah. And so a lot of Chinese students, you know, I'll say something like, I bless you with an understanding of who God created you to be and what his desire is for you. And that he loves you unconditionally, regardless of what you do. That you know, sometimes I'll take him to like Mark 1, where John the Baptist baptizes Jesus, the heavens open, and the dove comes down. And it says right here, before Jesus had done anything or even started his ministry, God says to him, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." Or in Mark it says, "You are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." And I think it's in Matthew 3 that it says, you know, kind of in the third person, "This is my beloved son, so listen to him," sort of, you know. But it's important to speak it directly to them, and it's helpful, especially with the Chinese, to just speak an affirmation of identity of who God created them to be, because it's so withheld in their culture. It's like America in the 1910, you know, it's like, "I'm going to push you down so you can be strong and grow up." You know, it's like, that was some twisted psychology back then. Anyway.
The young ladies did emphasize, though, please, you know, we're uncomfortable at first, but we love it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is good. So I wanted to look at the bottom here where it says our identity. We have the authority to declare and bless as God's sons and daughters. And you can look these up a little bit later, but 2 Corinthians 6:18 and Romans 8. And as members of the royal priesthood, remember 1 Peter 2:9, it says, we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Okay, well, what did priests do? I mean, they stood between God behind the closed curtain, you know, and the people, you know, to offer sacrifice, because the Jews could not approach God directly. They couldn't ask for forgiveness directly. They had to go and bring a lamb and have it slain and then have the priest ask for forgiveness for them. I mean, it was like all this third party for, you know, thing. But here we can boldly come before the throne of grace, you know, and speak directly, because God has given us authority. And next line says, we have a delegated authority. It's not because of what we're doing. We are praying in the name of Jesus. You know, if you look at all the passages where Jesus is sending out the 12, it's not our own authority. It's authority that's delegated to us. I mean, one of the key passages that God's spoken to me is like the Roman centurion, you know, that, you know, I want to, one of my goals in life is to be like that. I'm not going to join the military, but to be one under authority and in authority, you know, so, but it only comes from being under authority, then do we have any authority. So as we have a better understanding of the authority under which we sit and then what he has delegated to us, do we have any authority to then speak life to those around us? Because there's so much death, despair, and I mean, you just watch any sitcom and it's just all speaking death and speaking cursing and speaking some nasty terror. But
yeah, I would agree, except I think we do have to be a little careful in the sense that we kind of touched on a little earlier, that all authority has not been given to you and I. It's been given to Jesus.
You're right.
He said all authority has been given to me. He didn't necessarily give it to you and I, because then we'd be totally equal with Jesus. We're his brothers and sisters,
yes.
But he is infallible without sin, and we're not. So, but he is a delegated authority. I mean, you have that under him, like you said. So I guess what I think maybe we have to be careful is that we can pray with power and say, Lord, I really believe this, but ultimately, not what I want, but what you want. I mean, as an example, you all know of Johnny Tata Erickson. What a model of grace. And I mean, at 17 years old, everybody knows it, right? Johnny Erickson,
she
broke. She can't do anything. She can talk, but you know, people have prayed over her for years that she'd be healed. God has chosen not to heal her, but He's giving her the grace, and she's but done more as a paraplegic than you and I would ever do, being totally whole. You know. Anyway,
right.
Just using that as an example that we don't know all things, but
I think
you know what I'm saying.
We might need to back up a little bit. When we were talking about the mediator, Christ, a priest.
Yeah.
And the office of the priest is to mediate between God and the people in the things pertaining to God, because the people cannot approach God because they're ignorant of God,
right.
And the priest is the one who understands the things of God,
right?
So that they would not be harmed in the process.
Right.
Now, I understand when you become a son, you are a son.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Right.
And as a son, you will be conformed to His image.
Right.
And, I mean, that's the end. Paul
right.
was an apostle, but he never assumed that he
right.
had achieved that.
Right. We're working on
it.
Yeah,
but that is the goal, that we would be conformed to His image. I mean, when God looks at us, He's going to see Jesus. It's like, wow. Like, that's incredible. It really is. And but the thing is, it was a priest, and we're all priests.
Right.
And I said this to my aunt the other day. I was talking to her, and she said, you ever thought of becoming a minister? I said, everybody's a minister. Everybody's a minister, but not all minister.
Yep.
But when you minister, you have to minister in the things pertaining to God, according to His standards,
right.
His word, and His spirit.
Right.
And that's something we have to understand. And
I agree. I was just trying to say that you know, we oftentimes, since we don't know everything, we may have to say, ultimately, this is what I want. I think you're going to do this, but ultimately, you know better than me. So not my will, but your will be done. Even Jesus prayed that.
Yeah.
He wanted the cup to be taken away. But if it had been, you and I couldn't be saved, because that was the only way. So that's just what I'm saying.
Sure.
You know, I think this is a great opportunity to listen to that. Before you start to pray, say, Lord,
right. And so we probably won't get to the last four pages, but it's on some hearing God experiments. And I would really encourage you to just take those and look at it, and ways to, you know, like, there aren't pages on here, but I think it's page 6 says read John 10, 1 through 10 a few times slowly. And as you read, see if God has a word or phrase for you from the passage. But anyway, going back to where we are, you know, I like to flood people with a wealth of information and only cover a portion of it. So I think we're now at the top of page 5 or something where it says number 3, other New Testament examples. But I'm jumping down to the middle where it says, what does declarative prayer blessing look like? So I want to use a couple more examples here, which many of you could have seen using declarative scripture and blessing straight out of scripture. Numbers 6, 24 and 26. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. I keep looking for the wording. I've seen it. I've heard it twice, but I can't find it in the wording. But it's, you know, basically, may the Lord turn around and look right at you and have a big smile on His face. So, you know, like you're, you know, a chocolate cake or whatever, you know, whatever brings a big smile. But, you know, a couple years ago, we had a huge number of Malaysian students that were at OSU. The king had approved some money to send like 200 Malaysians here, and about 40 of them were in regular interaction with IFI that year. And we actually had a closing thing at Bruce Bernard's house where we had a wrap-up dinner and stuff. And towards the end of it, Julie Barker was coordinating it, and she got laryngitis, like right in the middle of the party. And so she came up to me and said, "Hey, Phil, could you do the closing prayer?" I said, "Okay, well, God, what would you have me say?" You know, so a moment for a listening prayer. And the Lord gave me this, you know, exact passage, Numbers 6, you know, and so, you know, I prayed for them, you know, a variety of things, and then this, and I said, yeah, may the Lord look at you with favor and give you peace, you know, and, you know, then, hey, amen, you know, blah, you know, and everybody started talking around, and, you know, I don't know Bahasa Malay, but the Stearns, I don't know if you guys know the Stearns, but they were in the room and talking to several of the students as they were breaking up. And he came to me afterwards and said, your prayer caused a big stir. I said, oh no, what did I do? yeah. And he said, there were several pockets of students just standing there, Muslim, you know, but they had been connected with Christians and hearing a little bit of, you know, some different levels. But anyway, they were really moved by your prayer. They've never thought of God smiling at them or being happy with them, you know, and they're asking a lot of questions about that, and just the aspect of God as a loving father, you know, because in Islam it's a power fear situation, you know, and so it's you know, it's you got to do what's right or the thunderbolt is going to come and kill you, you know. So but unfortunately there's a lot of Americans that think of God that way too, but oh well. So but this can be an amazing blessing, you know. The Lord bless you and keep you, you know. And the thing is, you know, when I've asked people, both Christians and non-Christians, students and just neighbors, you know, can I pray for you? I mean, other than my own daughter, she tells me not to pray all the time. But anyway, most people will say, sure, you know. And then a lot of people expect you to, you know, pray when you get home. But, you know, I really encourage people to just pray right then. Well, let's pray right now. You know, God's right here. And then the next example there from Psalm 23. So, Marge, I bless you with Psalm 23, with the presence of the good shepherd, that you would lie down in green pastures. You would sit beside still waters and allow the good shepherd to restore your soul. I bless you with the yoke of Christ, that you would know that Jesus is walking with you and carrying this burden with you. So, whatever you're facing, you know. So, I mean, anyway, I'd encourage you to try to find some opportunities in the next week to, well, first of all, read through all the pages I didn't cover, but then also, you know, just put it into practice, especially with international students, but hey, shoot, you know, it doesn't say that you're blessed to be a blessing only to internationals. I mean, you can bless your family. You can bless, you know, people at your church. You can bless your neighbors. You know, just as you go through life, ask God to, you know, be like walking right beside. I remember in college, I'll end with this story. I remember a guy in college. You know, we used to meet, he was discipling me. We'd walk across campus, and as we're talking, you know, we're walking side by side, you know, and he's also, he keeps looking, you know, over and talking like, what in the heck are you doing? So, well, you know, he says, I try to imagine Jesus walking beside me wherever I go, and I have this running dialogue with him in my mind, and sometimes I say it out loud, you know, of, hey, Jesus, what would you have me see here? You know, it's like, Hey, Rick, how's it going? And how'd you, Jesus says I should ask you about, you know, it was the most amazing thing I ever saw. But anyway, so hopefully this will be helpful for you as you think about how to go deeper and go more in with the various students that you have in your life already. But, you know, really, we're blessed to be a blessing. So look for opportunities to bless, you know, and, you know, if there's bad situations, you know, find a way to bless, you know, because, I mean, people already stand condemned. That's what Romans tells us. They stand condemned already if they haven't believed in Christ. You know, but what I'd encourage us to do is bless them with faith, bless them with hope, bless them with an understanding of God's will and how He created them and who He created them to be. Okay? So let me close by blessing you. Just bless you each in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would have an open heaven, that as you would call out God's name, that He would hear from heaven and answer you and tell you new and wonderful things that you didn't know, and that you would have a clearer sense of being able to hear God's word, that you would begin to see images and words and things as you pray for people and as you walk into rooms, that you would, I mean, even looking at different peoples, that you would see a picture or a word or impression as each person would walk in, that you would sense something that God wants to bless them, and that you would be very open-handed, and that you would just bless everyone in your life with God's presence. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. Okay. Hopefully this was helpful. I don't feel like I got through as much as I wanted to, but hey. So it's a different way of thinking. And like I said, this is what they're doing. I didn't include it in the handout, but these two things with then a third thing of prayer walks, you know, walking around either the building where you're having the Bible study or the area where the students live on campus, and just praying, you know, with that. Because this missions group, when they do these things in connection, the DBS, prayer of blessing, and, you know, prayer walks, they just run into people that they can bless. You know, they go, oh, wow, what are you doing? Oh, we're meeting on Friday night. Oh, come on over. Where at? You know, and so it just becomes this contagious thing that just builds momentum with the people that you run into, because everyone likes to be around people that make them feel good, you know. And so regardless of what understanding they have about God, you know, if you get a blessing and you have someone that, you know, makes you feel good, you're going to want to come and hear more about what they say about Jesus. So, okay. Well, thank you for coming. Thank you.